Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
I was raised Baptist. Anybody raised Baptist? If you were raised Baptist, you understand what a bake sale is, right? Yeah. That funded more buildings than anything else. But in a bake sale, they get typically all the bakers in the church to create some brownies or cookies or cakes, and then they sell them to church members. So it's a good thing. But say, well, why don't y'all do that here? No. Lady was making a cake. Small southern town, Baptist church, making a cake for the bake sale. And she got busy and didn't do some things right, and the cake fell. And she didn't have time to make another one. So she took a full roll of toilet paper, and she stuck it in the middle of the cake. And then she built up the icing and everything. It looked beautiful. And then she brought her daughter in, high school daughter. She said, let me tell you something. She said, I'm going to take this cake to the church this morning. She said, after school, you make sure you are first in line at 4 o'clock that you buy my cake. Don't you let anybody else. You buy my cake. And when the lady got home that evening, she was chagrined to find out that her daughter had gotten hung up in school. And she said, Mama, when I got there, the cake was gone. I am so sorry. It was a pretty cake, but somebody else bought that cake. And the mom was thinking, oh, Lord, at least no one knew I made it. But then you can imagine how she felt the next day when she's at a luncheon. One of the wealthy ladies in the house, a beautiful home, opened up her home, had this beautiful, very formal lunch, china, and the lady of the house, the hostess, came walking out with her cake. And the lady who baked it was just about to say something when another lady piped up and said, my, what a beautiful cake. And the hostess said, thank you, I baked it myself. Liar, liar, pants on fire. That was going to get rough right there. You say, well, has that got anything to do with your message? No, not a thing. Not a thing, but how do you believe it's good to laugh in church? If we can't laugh here, where are we going to laugh? So it's good, good medicine. This morning I want to talk about a little bit more of a serious subject, because I want to talk about staying connected and staying connected to the Lord. As a pastor, that is something that's always on my heart, it's important, staying connected. So we're going to talk about some ways to do that, ways that you can stay connected. We know the value of connections. How many of you have ever left your house, realized you did not have your phone with you, and even though you were just going right down the street, you turned around and went back and got it? Because if we don't have our phone, we don't even feel dressed. We're like, I'm missing something. Oh, it's my phone, because of the connections there. Or if you go to a hotel or maybe a Vrbo and you rented a home, what's one of the very first things you do when you get there? Wi-Fi. You're checking Wi-Fi, making sure all the passwords work because of the desire to be connected. When we, of course, love being connected with our loved ones. And before there was FaceTime, there was Skype. And when Matt and Kelly were in Arequipa, Peru, doing mission work, we, on Thanksgiving, they were by themselves, and so on Thanksgiving, we Skyped with them, and we set the laptop in the place where they would normally sit. And so we had them for our Thanksgiving dinner. And I don't know about you, it's one thing to talk on the phone, it's another thing to see their face. And so that just, it just increased the connection. We value connections. They're important. But the most important connection we have is your connection to the Lord. That's three amens and a couple of grunts, but that's very true. You say, well, oh no, Alan, I know a billionaire, and my connection to him is the most important connection I have. Well, if you do know a billionaire, please introduce me. But that connection is only good for here. It's not good for the next life. A connection to the Lord Jesus is a connection that will bless your life here and in the life to come. And so it's our most valuable connection. It's a connection that we started by faith. You heard the message. You heard that Jesus died on the cross for our sins You heard that God raised him from the dead, and he will accept all who proclaim him as their Lord and Savior. That's a faith thing. You didn't see it. You believed it. And because you believed it, your relationship with him was started by faith. But it also has to be maintained by faith. So in other words, the faith we start with is the faith we continue with. And Paul was very concerned as an apostle. Remember, he would go into areas where there were no churches at all. And he would begin to reach out. And when he would leave, there was a church going. And so, but it was like the only church going. And one of Paul's big concerns was that the pressure that these churches, these early churches faced, that the pressure would cause them to disconnect from the Lord. And that's, it's very real. And so in one particular letter, well, it's in Thessalonians. Everybody here at the Ark reads Bible 365, one chapter a day. You're laughing. I'm sorry. This is a faith statement. Everyone here at the Ark reads one chapter a day, 5 days a week. And so it keeps us all on the same page. We're reading in the book of Thessalonians. And one of the very first letters, I think it's Paul's very first letter. And you can see in this letter his heart for the church and his heart that they would stay connected. I relate to that so well. But I want you to see what he's talking. He's writing to the church. He said, that's why I would not could bear it no longer. I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was still strong. I was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you and that our work had been useless. But now Timothy has just returned, bringing us good news about your faith and love. That's the second time he mentions faith. He reports that you always remember our visit with joy and that you want to see us as much as we want to see you. So we've been greatly encouraged in the midst of our troubles and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, because you've remained strong in your faith. It gives us new life to know that you're standing firm in the Lord. That last verse, actually, you may know it as, for now we live if you stand firm, stand fast, stand strong in the Lord. Boy, I understand that. As a pastor, it never blesses me when I'm out in the community and I'll run into somebody and they'll go, hey, we used to go to your church. I can't tell you how that blesses me to hear. But often my next question is, I say, oh, great. Where are you fellowshipping now? And way too many times, they duck their head and they say, well, you know, we got busy and things. And that doesn't bless me. Because as a pastor, I'm so blessed to hear the people who are standing firm, who haven't quit, who still love the Lord, who are staying strong with him. That, man, that's life to me. And to hear that someone has disconnected and separated from the Lord, that doesn't bless me. And you can hear Paul's heart. He wants this church. He's like, man, he couldn't pick up a phone. He couldn't call and go, hey, how's everybody doing? He couldn't FaceTime. He couldn't text. So he sent Timothy. And I'm sure he said, Timothy, I need you to go down there. How are they doing? Is their faith still strong? Are they still staying with the Lord? And he was so blessed. He said, man, we were in the middle of trouble. But when Timothy came back and Timothy said, hey, Paul, these guys, they're doing great. They love you. Their faith is still strong. They're standing firm in the Lord. And Paul's like, praise God, I live if you stand firm in the Lord. I can tell you that's the same thing here. I live if you stand fast in the Lord. That's standing firm. Connections. We started with faith. We have to continue with faith. And there's some things we can do to help us in this area. When Joy and I first were dating, right after electricity had been invented, actually we were dating in the early, Joy and I met in September this month of 1981. We were married in April of 1982. I don't recommend that as a general rule that quick, but it did work for us. But we were separated for a while because when we met, she lived in Miami, I lived here. And so these were the days, and I realize some of you may have to Google this, but you can Google it, before cell phones and before internet. And when a phone was actually connected to a wire in your house with a long line. And does anybody remember, now this is going to date you, how if you had a long distance girlfriend or boyfriend, the phone bill could be huge. It'd be like a second mortgage payment. And so We didn't have the money to do it. We're separated. But Joy and I came up with a deal. I would call her and I would let it ring once and hang up. And then she would a lot of times call back and let it ring once and hang up. You say, well, that's stupid. No, that's just saying, I'm still thinking about you. I'm still connected to you. And hey, 42 years later, it works. So, you know, don't knock it. It's still there. But the idea was, it was just a connection. Well, if there's things that we can do to stay connected naturally, there's some things we can do to stay connected spiritually. And I want to give you those, a couple of those this morning, because I think it's so important that you stand firm, that you stand fast, that you stay with your connection with the Lord. There's a great story in the Bible, going way back to the book of Genesis, about a man named Abraham. You know, I haven't preached about Abraham a lot, but he was like considered a father of our faith. He had a genuine connection with God. God revealed himself to Abraham, made him promises. Abraham obeyed God. In fact, God told him, he said, I need you to leave your home and your family and go to a land that I will show you. And Abraham, not knowing where he was going, just trusted God and picked up and left. He's a great example of faith. And Abraham had a nephew named Lot. Now, Lot's father had died. Abraham's brother had died. So this was a nephew. Many historians feel like Abraham and Lot was like a son to Abraham. And wherever Abraham went, Lot went. And when Abraham left, Lot went with him. And so you see Lot following him, but you see that Abraham had a godly influence on Lot. Let's read this story here. Abraham went up from Egypt to the Negev, and he and his wife and all he had, and Lot with him. And Abram was very rich in livestock, silver, and gold. He went up by stages from the Negev to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai. You didn't know the artificial intelligence was already in the Bible, did you? Where his tent had formerly been, to the site where he had built the altar. And Abram called on the name of the Lord there. Now Lot, who was traveling with Abraham, also had flocks and herds and tents. And there was quarreling between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. At that time, the Canaanites and the Perizzites were living in the land. So Abraham said to Lot, please, let's not have quarreling between you and me or between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, since we are relatives. Other translations said, since we are brothers. This would be a good word for all the churches in America. We're brothers. Since we're relatives, isn't the whole land before you? Separate from me. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. So Lot chose the entire plain of the Jordan for himself. Then Lot journeyed eastward, and they separated from each other. And Abram lived in the land of Canaan, but Lot lived in the cities on the plain and set up his tent near Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were evil, sinning immensely against the Lord. Abraham was a godly influence for Lot. Abraham was a man who had a connection with God. He had promises from God. He trusted God. And Abraham had built an altar, which was a place of worship. And so keep in mind that Lot is watching this. There's great power in influence and environment. The influences and environment that Abraham had created for Lot were powerful. And Lot would see Abraham as he would go and worship at the altar, and he would worship God. He began to see him worship the one true God, and he would offer sacrifices. And so there was an environment of worship there. And the Bible said that Abraham called on the Lord there. Two things that tells us that calling on the Lord in prayer, he's talking to the Lord, he's committing his life to the Lord, and there's an identity. He's identifying with the Lord. And if you look at Abraham's life, he always identified with being connected to the Lord. He was strong in that. That identity was strong. And Abraham was a man who not only had a talk, a religion, he had a walk, he lived it. And he actually came to Lot when there was quarreling. He came to Lot and said, hey, man, he said, one translation said, we're brothers. There should be no quarreling between us. This is the greater going to the lesser to make peace. And then you can see that Abraham lived like a man who was blessed. He looked at Lot, he said, you choose where you want to go. You go one way, I'll go the other way. Now, the interesting thing was, if you read the whole story, when Lot chose, Lot chose the best looking land. He said the land of the Jordan was well watered. It was great. It's going to be great for livestock. And so instead of Lot looking at Abram going, Abraham, you're the man, you have helped me and blessed me. You choose first and I'll go the other way. I don't want any argue. You have been such a blessing in my life. Lot says, I'm taking the good land. But when Lot left Abraham's influence, it hurt him. One, we begin to see a little bit of Lot in that instead of being gracious, he took the best land for himself. And he went and pitched his tent near Sodom. I think everyone's heard about Sodom and Gomorrah. Not a good place. And it's interesting that he pitched his tent near Sodom, but a little while later we find he's living in Sodom. But that's the way trouble starts in our life. We pitch our tent near it, and then we wind up in it. And so here he is. He was had this all this godly influence, but now he's living in Sodom, and he's surrounded. And listen, his life did not go well. In fact, he was part of a war, and some kings came in, and they took everyone in Sodom captive, and they took Lot with them and all his stuff. And it was Abraham who went and rescued him. Abraham took all the people in all his trained servants, and they went and did like a guerrilla warfare thing and rescued Lot. And you would have thought Lot was like, Abraham, man, I am so blessed when I'm around you. I am not leaving you. But Lot went back to Sodom. And here's the problem. Not just did he lose the influence of Abraham, but the influence in Sodom hurt him. There's a verse in Peter. Peter later gives us some indication of what happened to Lot. He said, but God also rescued Lot out of Sodom because he was a righteous man who was sick. Another word for sick, he wasn't sick like, I'm so sick of this. He was distressed, it hurt him, of the shameful immorality of the wicked people around him. Yes, Lot was a righteous man who tormented his righteous soul by the wickedness he saw and heard day after day. He said it tormented him. It hurt him. It hurt his righteous soul. If you read the rest of Lot's story, his family just had a dysfunctional family. It blew up. He lost his wife. He had to get out of Sodom. God rescued him out of Sodom before judgment came. But Lot's life did not go well. The influence and the environment that he had when he was around Abraham was a blessing in his life. It was a help in his life. Abraham was blessed. And so Lot, as long as he was with Abraham, he was blessed. There was great, great power there. But what about us? How do we stay connected to the Lord? There's an interesting passage in the book of Hebrews. Since we're all reading Bible 365, we have just recently read the book of Hebrews. It's kind of a deep book, but it was written to Jewish believers who were under pressure to leave their newfound faith in Christ, and they were under pressure to leave that and go back to Judaism. Big pressure there. They're getting all kinds of social pressure and family pressure. And so all this pressure. So the writer, when he's writing the book of Hebrews, he's contrasting Jesus and all the Judaic system. Talking about Jesus is better, but he gives some practical instructions right here when he tells the group, let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering. Since God who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So this morning, let me give you a couple of things. A couple of things that will help you stay connected. And they're right in that passage, right there, that we can see. And the first one is this. Do not underestimate the power of influence and environment. What you see and hear and who you hang out with will have an impact on you. This is why oftentimes, this is why we see so many kids who are doing so well in their parents' home. And then they go off, they leave, they go to college, they go somewhere else. And they become influenced by people who are godless and it causes them to fall. We can't underestimate the power of influence. What we see and hear and who we hang out with, that influences us. Now, I know immediately, I can hear people going, Alan, you don't understand. The people I work with, I work with some rough folks, and I'm the only Christian there. You need to pray that I get another job. I'm like, no, you're the only light there. You need to be a light there. Listen, you can't always choose who you're around, but you can choose how you stand. and you can let them know how you stand. You know, my pastor, John Osteen, he was fiery. I am not that fiery. He was fiery. He said he walked into a health club one time. He's going to the gym, set his bag down and went, "Hallelujah, praise you, Jesus, glory to God." He said, "I just want everybody to know where I stand." So that I'm not that bold. But every place I've ever worked, they've known that I was a Christian. If they don't know you're a Christian, you're going to be the one being influenced. If they know you're a believer, then you can begin to be an influence. Because I've had people laugh and scoff, and then they slip around to my desk a little bit later on and go, "Hey, man, my wife is sick. Will you pray for her? Hey, man, I'm having some problems at home. Will you pray?" So they may laugh at you, but they'll find you at midnight when it's rough. And if you let them know you're a believer, and if you're going to let them know you're a believer, you got to live the life. That means you need to be a good employee. Do you hear the silence that just would... If we're going to say we're a believer... Listen, there was a lady. She was tailgating a guy who was driving. She's trying to get to work. She's late. She's tailgating. Guy's going slow. And he comes up to a yellow light. And instead of accelerating like most of us, he slows down and stops at the yellow light. And she goes off. She starts honking her horn. She's flipping him off. She's cussing at him. And she looked up, and just right in her window, there's a law enforcement officer with his gun drawn going, "Get out of the car. Get out of the car." And she gets out of the car. He said, "Hands on the hood." He puts her hands on the hood. He said, "Do you have any identification?" She pointed to her. He said, "There's my purse in there." So he went and looked at the purse, and he went, "Is this your car?" She said, "Yeah, it's my car." He said, "Oh, okay." He said, "When I came up behind you, I saw you honking and flipping off and cursing at the person in front of you." He said, "Then I saw your Christian fish emblem and your honk if you love Jesus bumper sticker. And I thought you stole the car." Can I get an amen, somebody? Hey, if we're going to let them know where we stand, then we need to at least walk the walk. But if you'll do that, then you can become an influence and say, "Well, you know what, when I miss it," let me tell you something. One of the most powerful things you can do when you miss it is apologize to people around you and say, "You know what, I'm sorry I said that or did that. That is not what I believe. I believe I'm a follower of the Lord, and that's not what I believe." That will mean more to them than you being perfect. But walk the walk. But here's the thing. We can't always choose who we hang around. We can't always choose who we work with. But we can, in our private life, choose what we see and hear. And this is where it gets tough. Because especially with the internet, guys, there's everything from negative to incredibly perverse. And it is tormenting our righteous souls when we see it and hear it. You say, "Well, Alan, I can't help it. I'm addicted. I'm addicted to porn, or I've been watching it and it's tough. And what do I know? The Lord's mad at me." No. The Lord just wants you to stop tormenting your righteous soul. And anything that you starve gets weaker. Anything that you feed gets stronger. And we will stand with you and pray with you and believe with you, because we want to see you free and we want to see you not be tormented. But we have to be careful about what we see and hear, because it has an impact on us and it influences us, and not in a good way. But yet there's a lot of good stuff out there. So we can choose. And that's tough. It was just as quiet in the first service. But I'm your pastor. I love you. I want to see you stand firm in the Lord. And what happens is, when you torment your righteous soul, you don't live as strong as a believer. And there's the bell. There is something we can choose. We can choose to be in an environment of encouragement. You say, "Oh, I bet I know where he's going with this. I bet he's going to say church is an environment of encouragement." That's exactly what I'm going to say. Church is an environment. I'm a pastor. That's what I do. But I can tell you that here is an environment of encouragement. Here there's an atmosphere of worship. Here there's an atmosphere of godly counsel. Here there's an atmosphere of prayer. Here there's an atmosphere of peace. It's a good atmosphere. And listen, When you've been battling hell all week, you need to come in and get a slice of heaven. You need to come in where it's encouraging. And if you're in a horrible church or you don't leave encouraged, find another one. But listen, you need to be there. And if you can possibly attend, come. I would have least thought I'd have gotten more out of people who are here. The quietness I expected from the people who are out there who can't hear me. But listen, listen, if you can, I realize there are people who can't come. I realize there's scheduling things. I get it. I get it. I get it. Anybody remember Sears? I grew up with Sears. The Sears, for those of you who are so young, Sears was before internet online shopping and before Amazon. Say, do you want to go back to Sears? No, I like Amazon. Hey. But Sears, at one time, largest retailer in America. One time they had over 700 stores in America. You know how many they had now? 11. Nothing lasts forever except God's kingdom. So in Sears, though, they used to send out a Sears catalog and the Christmas catalog. Anybody remember the Christmas? Oh, man, I could spend hours looking at the Christmas catalog. And then they would also have appliances in there. And Sears had good, better, and best. Remember that? Sears best. I mean, even in, man, I hated their shoes. Sears, my parents made me wear Sears Jeepers. Man, nothing says nerd like Sears Jeepers. But anyway, they had good, better, and best. And Sears best is what you wanted, and the good was, oh, was good. Hey, so you know what? Watching, I have people say, Alan, I watch you online. That's good. That's good. That is it's a good influence. I'm glad you do it. We're never going to stop our online ministry. We have a television ministry in Houston. We like that. It's a good influence. That is good. It is better to be here. I have talked to people before. I do a poll every time. I have people that come down and say, Alan, we watched you online for 2 years. This is the first time we come. I said, is being here better? And they'll go, yes, being here is better. You know why? Because you're here. Because there's corporate faith. Because there's encouragement. You come in, you look around, you go, oh, there's people that believe like I do. Oh, there's other Christians. I'm not the only one that believes God. Oh, and you worship. And you don't eat cereal during the message. True confession, I've done that. On services that I've been out and at home, I'm in the middle of a message. I'm watching Matt the other week, and I'm like, I think there's some cereal here in the kitchen. It's better to be here. There's an atmosphere of courage. Better to attend. Best is to be involved. Get involved in one of our serve teams. Get involved on some of our outreaches. Get involved in some of our classes. That's best. But you can choose an environment of encouragement that keeps you reminded God's real. He's good. We're staying with Him. Here's the second one. Second thing that helps us stay connected is do not underestimate the power of your words. The writer of Hebrews said, hold fast to your confession of hope. That word hope, we often use hope as a wish. It's not a wish. It's an expectation. He's saying you need to hold fast to saying what you expect that we're telling the Lord. Lord, I'm talking to you. I'm connecting with my words with you. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for your help. I expect. There's an expectation there. The confession of what we expect because He's faithful who promised. If He promised to help us, if He promised to heal us, if He promised to strengthen us, if He promised to give us wisdom, we have something to hold on to. But then we need to add our words to it. As I was praying this morning, praying for you guys and praying for the message, this just really rose up in my heart that we need to begin to use our words of what we expect. And so sometimes the Lord gives me poems. I just want to share this one with you. I expect to see God's goodness. I expect to see God's grace. I expect to have Him strengthen me as I run my race. I expect to have His provision. I expect to sense His love. I expect to walk in wisdom, the wisdom from above. I expect to be strong in my body. I expect to be strong in my mind. I expect God's mercy and peace that as I seek, I'll find. I expect to be led by His Spirit. I expect to live clean and right. I expect to see a win as with faith I fight the good fight. I expect to walk worthy of the Lord. I expect to be a witness that shines like the sun until the day I see him face to face and hear him say, well done. So, Alan, I don't write psalms like that. No, but you can have inspired words in your prayer time, and you can begin to tell the Lord, Lord, I thank you. I expect your goodness. I expect your love for me. I expect you. And here's the thing. You can tell the Lord you love him. Lord, I love you. And maybe you've never said that, but right here, people say, well, you know, Alan, my religion is private. Well, I'm talking about walking out in the middle of your block and saying this. I'm just talking about in your private time, in your home, in your car. You can just tell the Lord, Lord, I love you. I appreciate you that you shed your blood for me. Thank you, Lord. I love you. Listen, people who disconnect from their faith are not talking about how much they love the Lord. People who disconnect from their faith are talking their doubts. I don't want to talk my doubt. I want to talk what I believe. We sang that song, I believe one day you'll split the sky. I believe you're coming back. I believe, Lord, I believe you. And that's a powerful thing. Listen, you say, well, I just don't talk like, will you talk to your animals? Are you glad that no one records you talking to your animals? Because we're like, yes, he is, yes. Yes, he is, Jed. Yes, he's so good. He's a good boy. Well, I know you're laughing with me, not at me, right? If we can talk to our poodle, who does not understand us, who looks at us and goes, whatever. Can we talk to our Lord who hears every word that comes out of our mouth? Can we tell him we appreciate him and his faithfulness and his goodness? Can we just say, Lord, I love you. I believe in you. I trust you. You are helping me. You are with me. And it's like Joy talked about today. That becomes a fountain. People get so just down with their depression and thoughts and stuff. There needs to be something coming out of us. And with our words, we connect. Lord, I love you. I appreciate you. You're good to me. You've been good to my family. You hold my future in your hand. I trust you. You'll be surprised how much those words help you. Joy and I, when we were married, we argued a lot. I've already told that. But one of the things that we had learned was that Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And the one thing we did not do was speak death to our marriage. As much as we fought, I never looked at her and went, I cannot believe that I married you. I do. What was I thinking? I must have been stupid to marry you. And yet people do that all the time. And oftentimes we would fight, and then after the fight was over and we cried and made up, we would sit there and talk about how we believe that God put us together, how we believe that God had a future for us. And I promise you that because we didn't talk death to our marriage, it helped us stay connected to our marriage. Guys, if that works in a marriage, it works with our connection with the Lord. And we can tell him that we love him, that we're faithful to him, that we're so glad we're part of his kingdom. What an honor it is to serve him. When you first say that, it may sound strange. It's because we're not accustomed to speaking that way. But if you begin to do that, it can really become just a part of your life. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I bless you. It's a story of an older couple lived out on a farm. They were driving into town in his old truck. And as they got closer to town, they saw a truck in front of them, and the truck had a young guy, and his girlfriend or wife. She was sitting so close to him, they looked like a two-headed driver. And the older wife, looked over at her husband, and she said, do you remember when we used to sit like that? He never batted an eye, he just kept driving. He said, yep, I haven't moved. This morning, the Lord never moves. Have you moved? Do you realize, hey, I need to come back. I need to reconnect. I've disconnected. I want to connect back in. Or maybe you're saying this morning, hey, Alan, I never did connect. But I want a chance to do that. We're going to say a prayer. I'm not going to have you come down to the front. We're not going to have you stand up. But I am going to ask you that you bow your head and close your eyes. No one looking around, please, no one moving, just out of respect for the people around you. But if you're here and you say, Alan, I moved away from the Lord and I need to reconnect with Him, or I need to connect with Him for the very first time, I want to be a part of your prayers. Will you pray for me? If that's you, shoot your hand up just real quick across this auditorium and say, that's me. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Obviously, I can't see if you're online. I can't see all the hands. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. You wanted to, but maybe you're embarrassed, or maybe you just felt like I can't do that. But you can pray this prayer with us. This is a heart prayer. Remember, it's words. It's our words from our heart. So I'm going to lead you in it. If you're online, if you're by yourself, you can pray this out loud with us. If you're with others, pray it quietly. But if you're here, pray this prayer with us together. We're going to pray with you as a church family. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Now, let's still bow just for a moment. Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer. Father, for the ones who've come back, the ones who've reconnected, and the ones who connected for the very first time, we rejoice with them. We are so grateful. And Father, for the rest of us, thank you that our connections with you can get stronger. Thank you for helping us break those things that torment our soul. But Father, thank you that with our words and our heart, we can move closer to you, and you will move close to us. We thank you for the privilege of that. We give you all the praise. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.